Amen. Amen. Before I start, I want to play this song. This is just to kind of get everybody in the mind frame, because what I want to share, it's sensitive to me, but I just need the men of God to be in the right mind frame. Can you go ahead, Elder West? Jesus, we come to your throne, Lord God, because you said, Lord God, that we were worthy, Lord God. Father God, even right now, Lord God, I just thank you, Father God, for the brothers, Lord God, who have gathered together, Lord God, for this conference, Lord God. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for healing minds, Lord God, setting the brothers free, Lord God, showing us areas where we can be stronger in, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for fellowship, Lord God. So even right now, Lord God, as I go before the men, Lord God, I just ask, Father God, that their minds will be open, Lord God, their hearts will be open, Lord God, and that they are also hearing the word, hearing your voice, Lord God. So, Father God, we thank and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I am Minister Brian DeShazzo. I am a member of New Vision for Life. I have been coming to this church since the very beginning. So it's been over, 13 years. I'm going to give my testimony. And I'm going to kind of speak on some things, and I'm going to go right into the open discussion part. So it's going to be one straight shot. I just ask that if you have any questions, do not be ashamed to ask any questions. None of us will look funny. No, look at anybody funny in here, because we're all here to grow and to help one another to the next level, or to help someone else out. So what I ask is that you open your mind, and if you have a question, ask. Please ask. Okay? There is some material in there. I'm just gonna just read offhand. In Ephesians 5:11, it says, do not have fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Instead, expose them. So my way of exposing the enemy is to give my testimony. I already gave my name. I am 40 years old. I have been saved. I have been saved since I've been about 14. I originally didn't start in New Vision. I started at another church where I originally got saved. In the midst of me being saved, I strive to be like the other guys in my church. And a lot of the men that I grew up with when I first got saved were deacons. It was pretty much deacons. And they sold into me. And one of the things that I always strive for was I wanted to know about God. I wanted to be everything that God wanted me to be. So one of my goals was I wanted to be a deacon. So I strive to be a deacon when I was at this church. Did everything they asked me to do. Maybe about 5 years into it, once they had junior deacons, I was the last junior deacon left. I was the youngest ordained deacon in that church, and I was about 25. All the other deacons were a little bit older than me, so I'm the youngest deacon. It just so happened that one day I went to my father's house, and I didn't tell him I was coming, and he was in the house. So I had went through the door, and how the house is set up is like, as soon as you come in the door, there's a sofa in the living room. So when I came in, only thing I know is my father just jumps up and goes running upstairs. And I'm like, what the heck is wrong with him? So curiosity, of course, I'm walking through, and of course my father's like, cussing me out. Why you ain't call me? You need to call me. And I'm like, well, I was in the neighborhood. I'm stopping by to see you. And I'm wondering, why is this man jumping up all of a sudden and running upstairs? So I push play on a VCR and I say, oh, wow. My father was looking at porn. This is my first time ever being exposed to it. I knew my father had porno magazines. Of course, when I was a kid, I would go in his room and I would look at him. No effect. But the video had an effect. So a couple years down the line, I eventually got married at the church that where I was a deacon. And only thing I can say was that's when issues started happening. Something that I thought was so small and insignificant ended up becoming, it started growing. So here I am, ordained deacon in church, and I am now wearing a mask that lies and grins, and I'm going to church, and I'm, praise the Lord, how you doing? God bless you. Praying for people, touching people. But yet, when I'm going to work, I'm going down on Baltimore Street into the little booths where you pay the little 25 cent looking at videos. And once I looked at the videos, I would automatically repent. God, why? Why? This is not what you would have for me. Back and forth, back and forth. It eventually began to grow. I'll be good for a month. Don't worry about it. Don't say anything to anybody. It so happened that one day, I got exposed. How I got exposed was the church I was in was having a deliverance service. And in the midst of them having a deliverance service, that pornography spirit came out. And I don't mean like throwing up. I mean, physical out. Only thing that I was told was during the deliverance service, it took a total of 8 grown men to hold me down because they couldn't stop me. They couldn't stop the demon that I was dealing with. And it came out. And when it was exposed, I had to come clean to my wife. So I came clean to my wife and I told my wife, yes, I've been going down on Baltimore Street. I have been going inside the little porn shops. And then that's when hard questions start coming. My wife would ask me and say, well, have you been messing with prostitutes or any of that? And I would tell her no, which was true. I had a line. Some things I wasn't willing to do. But by me being in a secretive lifestyle, I begin to notice certain things going on. I've been like I gotten to a point where I changed my route in order to get to work. But how the enemy would set me up, well, he tried to set me up. He would have the little prostitutes who would be downtown, they would somehow or another be on the bus stop while I'm waiting on the bus stop. And they sitting in there with short mini skirts, bras out, squatting, taking pee, pissing on the wall. But yeah, just squatting, So, I'm like, I can't deal with this. So I changed my route again. I just said, I'll just take the long way. Did whatever I had to do to keep myself not having to deal with it. So fast forward, I leave that church and I end up starting to come to New Vision. And what ends up happening is I thought I was under assumption that I was good. And one day I was doing something and this is when I realized that I had a serious problem. I so happened to be on a computer, and what ended up happening was I was typing up something, and I was trying to stay woke, so I was like, well, I'm just going to go look at some porn. So I surfed the internet, found a site, I looked at it, and I thought I exited off of it because I fell asleep, and I woke up, and I realized, oh, my God, I have to go to work. I get a call at 10 o'clock in the morning, and my wife is literally cussing me out. Like, I dare you do what you did. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You still at it. I'm like, what are you talking about? You're still looking at porn. And, of course, like some guys like me, I denied it. I'm not looking at no porn. I'm not doing that. And she was like, yes, you are. This is before I was even computer savvy. Search history will expose you like nothing ever before. She looked in my search history. She saw that I was going on that site for like a good, she went way back. She looked in my YouTube history. If I couldn't get on the actual website, I would go on YouTube and find stuff. And that's how I went. Eventually had to come clean to my pastor because my pastor already knew, but my wife told her. And my wife was to the point where she said, I want a divorce you. I don't even want to be with you. I'm done with you because you're going to eventually expose your sons to this. So in the back of my mind, as I'm going through this, I'm thinking like, well, my father kind of exposed me to it. I don't want to expose my sons to it, and then it'll be an ongoing cycle. I have to find a way to end this. What ended up happening was I went to some online counseling sessions, but when I would be talking to the person online, I would give one-word answers. They would say, how do you feel about pornography? I don't like it. Type that in. Leave it alone. After a while, I stopped. I just couldn't deal with it. I just wasn't doing the online counseling anymore. Then it got to the point where I was introduced to someone who was also in the body of Christ. But the thing about it was when I was speaking to him, because he was also in this kind of, he was dealt with the same thing I dealt with. He began to ask me questions that made me feel very uncomfortable. And instantly, I know it was the Holy Spirit that was telling me, he was like, something is not right about him. Do not confide in him because it's not right. Don't do it. So I went back to my pastor. I had a talk with her and I told her flat out. I said, he creeps me out. I said, I don't get that vibe. I said, only time I get that vibe is when if it's like something going on in service and somebody's acting kind of off. I said, this guy is literally creeping me out. So I ended that. I ended up talking to a pastor who actually sat me down. And he asked me all the questions. My pastor also asked me all the questions. And I literally clean. I said, look, I understand I have an issue. It's not good for me. And it's starting to destroy my marriage. It's definitely destroying my church life. It got so bad with my church life that I literally came to church for almost a whole year. And they would have praise and worship. And I was sitting in the back with my arms crossed. And I couldn't even get into it. I was just numb. I wasn't there. I was physically there, but I wasn't mentally and, you know, spiritually there. It's like no connection with God because I'm still dealing with the porn. What I've come to find out is when I was dealing with it is how the enemy is so, how the pastor says how the enemy tries to slow walk you into sin. How he slow walk you into sin is I got to the point where I no longer, I stayed off the websites. I started reading my Bible. Then I have to start dealing with guys at work. And the first thing I'm dealing with grown men, and I'm telling them, they was like, yeah, I look at porn. I was like, well, I don't look at it because, and I'm telling them, I'm trying to minister to them, and they're telling me, it's nothing wrong with it. It's nothing wrong with it. And they're like literally pulling out their phones, bam, right in my face. And I'm like, are you serious? I learned my trigger. I have a trigger. Trigger was, if I saw it, the enemy's going to use it and try to get me to go back. So, I asked the Lord if he can remove me from the job. I don't care how you do it. I just can't be around these guys because they're not respecting me and me telling them that I have a problem and I don't need nobody trying to, feed it. So God ended up removing me from that. And, you know, when you're dealing with this, it's not easy to come clean to your sisters in Christ. So I talked to my pastor and I asked, I said, well, I want to come clean. I have to say something. A lot of people in my church didn't know. Only people who really knew was, even before Elder Mark came here, was Elder West and my pastor and my wife. Those were the only ones who knew. So I came clean before them and I told them, like, look, I have an addiction to porn and I can't do certain things. I really knew it was an addiction when, if I could come into church and a sister that I'm talking to every day, if she was like the one thing, it could almost set me off. That's when I realized that, God, I really need you to totally deliver me from this, to eradicate it out my life, because I do not want to be looking at my sisters in Christ in a negative and nasty way. So over time, as I keep praying and keep praying, going through deliverance class and counseling with my pastor, and also talking to my wife, God delivered me. Now, even though I am delivered, I still have to keep my deliverance. I have to walk in it daily. I cannot just say, oh, I'm delivered, and then test the enemy. They say, do not go, when the devil invites you to the playground, you don't go to his playground and go on his terms. I don't do it. I will not do it. No way, no form. The enemy had me so set up in a way where I couldn't go to another brother and say anything to none of them. So after a while, I was able to go to other brothers and, you know, begin to tell them. And, you know, I'm in a place now where I know I'm hearing from God. And I know the Holy Spirit is directing and leading me to live a holy, sanctified life. And one of the things that God has always told me was, you won't ever get your full deliverance unless you start testifying and exposing the enemy. So, at the Last Man Up conference, I already said something to my church that was good enough for me, and I asked Elder Mark if he could talk to Deacon Farr about going a little bit more in depth into the pornography. And Deacon Farr gave me his blessings and allowed me to be here today. Do you know that 78% of the brothers in church look at porn? 78%. Do you also know that in the body of Christ, how the enemy is that people in church don't talk about this. brothers don't talk about it. It's their secret sin. And that's how I viewed it. It was a secret sin, something that I keep to myself, but only the, and I would think only the devil and only God knows about it. And then when it, and one of the things I used to seriously dread, I don't know about y'all, I was so dreading when a prophet would come into the house of God. Cause I was always told, like, if you're doing wrong, the prophet of God is going to expose you. They would come in and they'd be like, brother, come in. I'm like, oh, I'm about to be exposed. Oh, Jesus. No, no, not yet. Not yet. Oh, no. And it didn't happen, but just the very thought of it, and the enemy said, oh, almost got you. And the enemy constantly playing in my mind, playing in my mind, playing in my mind. And that's how he works. Pornography breaks down your sensitivity to God. What it does is it changes your perception of what real love is about. It changes your perception of how you view your wife, how you view your sisters in the body of Christ, which how you would start viewing them when you're dealing with it is you no longer view them as women or a woman of God. You now view them as an object to get what you want. The enemy plays with you like that, and he also distorts your view. You can literally be in church praising God, and all of a sudden the enemy comes to you and say, remember last night when you saw that? Woo. And you just like, oh, and you're in the midst of worship and the enemy is messing with you, and you're messed up. You can't even function anymore. You can't even hear what it is that God is saying to you because you're in a bad place because he's attacked your mind. How the enemy definitely works is he starts it off with a thought. That thought turns into an image. And once it turns to an image, it enters into your heart. And then you begin to manifest it. If you start manifesting it, there's a real bad problem. Even if you're thinking about it, there's a bad problem. The only good thing about if you're thinking about it, you can instantly break that thought up and start, thank you, Jesus, and start putting the word in you. So what I learned was I had to start putting the word in me. There's no Dr. Phil that could help me out. There was no addiction counseling class that I could literally go to, because by the world standards, they'll tell you some things that are good, but they don't tell you how to stay that way. The Bible has a total of, I believe it's a total of 98 scriptures in it that helps you deal with porn. Literally. I looked this up and I was like, wow, is that many scriptures? I knew it was some, but I didn't know it was that many. So what I did was I downloaded all those scriptures that would help build me up, also help me keep me in the word, and I would read them every day. Read them, read them, read them, read them, read them. Should have been writing them down. I just want to tell y'all this story real quick. There was this husband who received a call from his wife who was suffering from a toothache. He was in no position to help her, so she found an emergency dentist like at 10 p.m. that could help her. Unfortunately, due to the serious infection, of the swelling, the dentist could only provide her with temporary relief for the pain. This was an ongoing cycle for over the years until she could no longer stand the pain and had it extracted. Now, you might be wondering, why did she take so long to have the tooth taken care of? Not too many people are eager to go to take a trip to the dentist or a doctor, because out of fear. We produce will, because we're scared that it's going to produce pain, or we might not want to hear the test results. But nevertheless, she was able to have the tooth extracted, although she experienced brief discomfort. She was able to have peace knowing it would no longer cause her pain. Secret sins work in the same manner. We want to experience the life and the peace that we have in Jesus, but the unconfessed sins impact our fellowship with him and with others. It keep us going. It keep us from going before the very throne of God and boldness. And we lack the confidence that we ought to have. As for our relationship with other fellow believers, we shrink before them because we wonder whether or not they know our dark deeds. Therefore, it hindered us from genuine relationship. I hope and pray by now that you're able to make the connections. Sin is the nagging toothache. The pain is the Spirit of God pushing you to turn to Jesus Christ, the physician, who stands before the Almighty intercession, making intercessions for you. So you no longer have to suppress the shame with the things that cannot satisfy. Here's the truth. There is no such thing as secret sin. God knows all. The Bible says he reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the dark, and the light dwells with him. Daniel 2:22. And even in the darkness, even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike you. If you desire to walk in victory and triumph over the enemy, you must be willing to bring these things which are hidden to the light, and the truth will set you free. Amen. I had a path. I called it 12 Steps to Victory. It's in your package. Yeah, it's in the package, in the toolbox. Real briefly, just going to go over it. You can also read this in your spare time, because I want to also give y'all some things that help me to keep my deliverance and that still help me even now. One of the steps is that you have to admit. It makes no sense for you to try to keep it to your, try to think that only you can deal with it. There is nobody else that can deal with it. And you're really not fooling anybody. You're just only playing in the devil's playground. So you have to admit that you have a problem. You have an issue. You need help. You have to believe, which is step two, that God is willing and able to deliver you, to set you free. Step three is trust. You have to trust God. Now, through my whole process, I had a trust issue. I did not trust God. By me not trusting God, I would not give offering. I would not pay my tithes. I didn't want to deal with anything dealing with ministry. Only when I began to trust God and believe that God is not some old man sitting on a throne ready to strike me down, was I able to really trust him and understand that he has a plan for me of good and not evil. And by that happening, I was able to begin doing the things that I need to do to help further in the ministry. I start paying my tithes. I start giving my offerings. I start being more useful for the ministry. Because when the enemy has you in this, you're no use. You're no good. Because you feel like everybody's looking at you. You think everybody knows. And every little thing you hear, you think somebody knows what you're doing and they talking to you. So you have to take an inventory And what I mean by inventory is if you're in it, know what it is that sets you off, your trigger. Know what it is, how the enemy tries to slow walk you so that you can, you know, do your U-turn and not get into your 30 seconds of stupidity. Step five is confess. Now, you confess to God. Some people don't need to say anything to their pastor. It is up to the person. But me, I had to find people who I trusted that I'm able to speak to about what I go through. No lie. If I have an issue going on, I know this brother right here, I can call him and I can tell him, Mark, I need you to pray for me. I ain't even got to say no words. I ain't even got to tell him what's going on. If I'm out somewhere, or I will call my wife. I'm kind of not as easy to call her because, you know, she want to ask me 1,001 questions. And I know if I call Elder Mark, he's like, I got you, brother. Come on, let's pray. Or even if I'm in a place where I want to call him, but I feel like I shouldn't, he calls me. And I know that's God making a way of escape for me. You have to repent on a daily basis. I'm not just saying like, oh God, I sinned. I looked at the girl wrong. You have to repent daily. I mean, you might not even look at nobody wrong, but you might have a thought in your mind. So you have to repent, just to keep yourself straight and narrow with God. Amen. I'm not going to go into all of them. Time is short. But as you go through them, there's scriptures on there. Go through the, just read over the steps. Some of the stuff that helped me out a lot, especially this one, if you look, is this page right here. This book called Covenant with My Eyes. I highly implore, ask everyone that if you have a chance, if you're not dealing with it, or if you are, to get the book. This book is real good. It's a lot of information in it. And it's the author is really speaking from his heart and what it is that he was going through. And when I read this book, this is one of the books that actually helped me to get to where I'm at now. Another book on here is called Free at Last, Experiencing True Freedom Through the Identity of Christ. We as brothers in Christ, we can say that we're men all we want all day long. But if you don't know who you are in Christ, you cannot truly walk in your full victory and your full deliverance. Only when you understand who you are in him and who he is in you, then you can truly walk in your full deliverance. Amen. And the other one is Every Man's Challenge. They have a whole series of books. I just ask that you read, if you get a chance, get them when you can. I like reading books. I like listening to sermons. And I love hearing great men of God when they're speaking about things that us as men go through. As you also see, Deacon Farr also was able to get some statistics on here, which are true. There is also internet help. Some people want to use the internet hound block thing that, you know, stops you from going to sites. Me, when my wife put it on there, I found the passcode, I got off of it, and I knew how to put it back on. So what I did was I had an accountability partner, which was my wife. I knew my wife was going to look on the computer. It made no sense to go on there, right? Right. So what the enemy does is, what Deacon Farr said is, people who have cell phones is the easiest access that there is to get into whatever on the internet, which is another tool that enemy uses against the men. If you are willing if you're doing it, I heavily advise that you either disable your Wi-Fi connection, or you give your passcode to someone that you trust and they check your phone on a daily basis. I didn't have to go through that, but I want to give y'all options. There's a site called guardoverporn.org. These brothers, they have a Facebook page, which I'm a member of. If you're ever going through anything, you can pretty much type it into them and you get bombardment of, other men of God who start praying for you, and they give you scriptures and stuff to help you along. And they also have, Facebook, they have Instagram, they deal with all that. That's pretty much it. I just wanted to be transparent to y'all. It's feeling a little weird. I really wasn't going to do it. I was going to try to find a way to get out of it, but thanks to my brother's persistence, I was able to continue on. And even though the enemy tried to hinder me, I knew that this is the right route to go. So that's pretty much it for me. I'm just going to open it up for any questions. Anybody have any questions?
I understood that some women can figure out when their spouses are caught up in something because they start making requests that's unusual to them. I also understand that it also has an impact on the brain, that it physically depletes you from physically wanting to be with that person because of the images of pornography kills your desire for the person that you lay beside. Would you say that was a fight in any area for you to overcome?
No, that wasn't. But I have heard that. When I was dealing with it, I heard a rapper say it. It was so funny, but it was true. Lord help me to not have me look at my wife like she a porn star. I knew that, if I'm going to be with my wife, I can't look at some woman and thinking that my wife's going to be doing some crazy trick thing. Because that ain't how it is. I'm being real with you. Right. It ain't going that way. And what I came to understand is from some books that I've read is, hey, if you think that you're going to be 5 hours and a half being a man, you got another thing coming. So once that realization banged me in my head, I was like, wow, okay, this is real life and this is how it is. I asked God to, what they were saying in, Covenant with My Eyes, Lord, protect my eyes when I'm walking in the street. Let me only see the things that I need to see. Lord, protect my mind that no ungodly images come into my mind, that I do not go home and try to react on something that I saw.
All right. As men of God, we all have situations that cause us to be exposed to problematic situations. But I appreciate the honesty and the veracity that you took upon yourself to deliver your message to us. And I really appreciate how truthful you are in all aspects of what you've been through. And may God continue to bless you, my brother.
Again, I echo, I appreciate your honesty and your openness. I think this is an issue is certainly more prevalent than we would like to talk about. What I wanted to say, you're talking about deliverance. I made this comment in church, in our church, a little while ago. You can't counsel out a demon. And so I don't know if you've thought about the challenges that you've been having being demonic, and more so, we don't like to think like that. In fact, a lot of churches don't even talk about spiritual warfare, but it's real. And if it's a demon attacking you and causing you to act this out, I mean, it takes more than a class. It takes somebody to cast this out of you. And once you get delivered, as you have, I think as you found out, you can't expose yourself to it again because sin opens the door to demons, and we give them permission to act out in our lives. And it's, it behooves all of us, particularly in this area, because I think in the flesh of all men, there's a tendency to want to, as you, one of the books, Every Man's Battle, talks about, most of us deal with some type of issue in our flesh as it pertains to the opposite sex. But if you get a demon attached to that, it takes it to the extreme. So certainly those doors need to be closed. And the other comment I'll make before I give the mic back is generational curses are passed down from our father or our father's father, things that we didn't even know about that your grandfather might have been involved in that has attached itself to you. You don't know why this thing all of a sudden has jumped on me and I can't get rid of it. It could have been something that needs to be broken off your generational line and the bloodline.
Amen. Also, what he said about even dealing with the generational curse is like, when I was, because even here in New Vision, I've been to a deliverance class. I mean, I'm one of the deliverance ministers. I have a full understanding of what it means to be delivered. When I was in my old church and we were doing the deliverance class, they would always ask me, like, what can you think back of what started this? And when I thought about it, I was like, wow. I remember when I went to my father's house, and that was the beginning of it. Now, I'm gonna tell you how the enemy is, how generational curses work. It started with my father. It could probably started with my grandfather or whoever else. I don't know that far, but I can only speak of what I know now. It started with my father. It started with me. Now I have two sons. Now I almost exposed my oldest son to it, but his mother stopped it. His mother stopped him from seeing what was on the computer because she started up the computer. And what she did was, by her being a praying woman and me not being in the right place in God to be able to do what needed to be done, she had to step in and begin to start praying over my sons and praying over me. And then once I was fully restored, it was my responsibility as the man of the house to go before the father and also start tearing down these strongholds and making sure they do not attack my sons. Now, one of my sons had an incident when he was like in elementary school. He so happened to go on the computer and he typed in some anime thing. And like, I went to go pick him up and he's like, ooh, crying. I'm like, what's wrong with you? And he was like, well, see, I was on a computer at school, and next thing you know, I put in something, and all these naked pictures of these girls came up. And I was like, devil, there you go right there, trying to start it with my son. And I asked him as far. I said, well, what did you do? I exited out of it. I said, good. Prayed with him, told him I love him, and I explained to him, like, look, you have to be mindful of what you type in on these computers. You just can't type in one word because it will bring you up a whole bunch of other things. You have to be precise in what it is that you're looking for. And, no, I explained it to him. Don't have no issues with it now. And I talk to my son on a daily basis. The enemy sets you up when it comes to generational curses. And if we of the men of God, if we don't start breaking these things and asking God to start severing that branch, it may not affect your child now, but it's going to affect someone else down the line. And then they're going to be messed up, and then it's going to be a even worse work. Also, what he said about deliverance is, even though I felt I was delivered the first time, what ended up happening was, the same way how Jesus says that when he was dealing with Legion, when you cast out a spirit the first time and you invite him back in, he's bringing more people back with him, and they're going to mess you up. And that's exactly what happened. I'm thinking I got rid of him, but next thing you know, I'm dealing with more. Now I'm not just dealing with computer. I'm dealing with people seeing that spirit in me approaching me because they know it's in me. Just for instance, one day I was down on a block and I'm in the little booth thing and some female just comes walking in the booth. Hey, baby, what you want? And I'm like, what the? Hold up. Like, what is going on? Stuff like that. Spirits are attracted to spirits. And if you don't cut it off, you're setting yourself up.
I just wanted to share something because your testimony kind of touched base with me because I was exposed to pornography at a young age, at 8, by my uncle. You feel what I'm saying? And from the age of 10 on, I was stealing tapes from him, like going in. He'd be, what you doing in my room? I'd be stealing tapes. So once I got saved, it was easier for me to stop doing drugs. I could stop that, cigarettes, all that, and having sex, like real sex. It was easy for me to stop that. But pornography still was like a stronghold. You feel what I'm saying? Because I've been doing it for so long. But what I found out, like what touched me, what you said, is when you shut your mouth. It's like an abuser. When a man beat his wife, he tell her don't say nothing. You feel what I'm saying? Why he beating on her. But then, you know, when he want to do something, she nice. He lured me in by being, you know you want that. You know you want to do it. And when I did it, that's when it would come. You shut your mouth, don't say nothing. And the way I got delivered was telling my pastor and talking about it, speaking into the atmosphere, quoting the scripture, using the Bible, say the word is a sword. So I started using the word to get delivered. And now I'm clean. You feel what I'm saying? So you just touch home with me with that. And you gotta be honest. You can't lie. Though. Like one person told me, take the mask off. You in church, you front, you acting like you saved when you know you live in a mess. You know you got this going on. So speak it. Once you speak it, he lose power. So that's what I got.
Amen, amen, amen.
The one thing that I had to learn is that we live in a pornographic society, meaning that, and this is the way I heard it described, is that where a normal pornographic movie would be an 8 or a 9 or a 10. Normal society right now is at a 2 or a 3, meaning the stuff that we watch on television, the Victoria's Secret commercials, the things that come on primetime television after 10, those are like a normal 2 or a 3, even leading up into a 5. And we get comfortable with living at a 2 or a 3. So when it comes to going to a 5, 6, or 7, we're now comfortable with being a 2 or 3. So making that leap from to the other side is not as hard anymore because we're already exposed to that on a normal basis. And we've become, desensitized to 2, 3s, you know, to the smaller stuff. So the big stuff isn't a problem. For me, I had to learn not to accept the smaller stuff, which means that even when stuff came on television, I had to stop watching it on television. Even when it came to looking at magazines, I had to stop looking at magazines. You know, you stand at the counter at the grocery store and there's certain magazines that are there. You have to learn to control your environment enough that you can't allow those things in because those things will desensitize you to the point where you get used to those so the other stuff is not a leap.
Definitely. Also, something else that the Holy Spirit reminded me of is that women are also also have addictions to pornography too. But this is how the enemy is so smooth with it. He doesn't show a woman, he don't show certain women porno movies. Does nothing for them. You know how he gets them? He gets them into books. Those little, like, Gray Anatomy? Pornography right there. Because the same thing that I said, if he can get you thinking about it, he working you. And that's how he works the women. Me and my wife was in the car, and I was telling her, I said, because we was looking at something when we was driving, and I said, do you understand how the enemy is going to get you? I was like, me is visual. You, I said, he's going to have you read a book and then you're going to start thinking about that. And the next thing you know, you're going to want to act it out. That's why I like when they came out with that movie, 50 Shades of Grey, women were upset because it wasn't like the book. So, you know, well, I don't know what it was. Yeah, I heard about the book, but I never even seen a movie. I'm glad I never seen a movie. I didn't even read the book, even though somebody gave it to me. That was just too many pages for me to read. So I wasn't trying to read it. I was like, I don't want to know. But that's how the enemy is. The enemy tries to find a way where he can creep in just to get a little small window or crack in the door so that he can just plant a seed. And then next thing you know, it's being watered, watered, watered. And before you know it, you got a full-blown tree. And slow walk. He's going to slow walk you.
Just to you, and thank you, Mr. Bryan, for once again your transparency. But just one thing I thought about in, you know, in me even being in dealing with that issue, in those issues and those thought processes before my life. Just the, like you said, as we've been hearing so much about the slow walk and little things that we don't even think about as men we're attracted to, like what sells cars. You always see the woman in the bikini sitting on the hood of the car. Now you like, ooh, I like that car, but you ain't thinking nothing about the Mustang. You thinking about the girl on top of the hood of the car. In sports, when we're looking at sports, you're into the sports, but guaranteed if that cheerleader does the right cartwheel, your whole mind is forgot about 5 and 10. You're thinking about that cheerleader, you know, because she's in that skimpy clothes or whatever. And it's exactly. And that, you know, what happens is so many things that we like, we become desensitized to how strong the pull really is because it's just a little thing that's just put in there slow by, you know, slow, like you said, Pastor. Here you go. Oh, like you said, just we're slow walked in the things, the little images that can just build up, like you said, for women, that women act emotional. So when they're reading it, they're emotionally tied into the book because they're thinking, ooh, if my husband would treat me like that. And before they go home, now they're thinking that their husband's going to do all those crazy things in the book. Just like what we saw in the video, we're thinking, if my wife can swing from the ceiling like that, we're going to do it today. You know, so it's just, hey, brother, some of us have been prepared for a long time. Amen. But no, that we just, we get really pushed into little things and we get so desensitized and we just, we know, we let them slide by. Like you said, you know, movies and TV now, it's just amazing how what used to be like cut off when you think of what was PG before, now PG is like 18 and over type stuff, you know, like G movies have sexual connotations in them. I was looking, like, me and my wife, we were watching, I like anime movies, so we were watching Shrek. And I'm listening to some of the stuff they were saying, I'm like, whoa, this is a G movie, but there's some sexual connotations. There's some comments to sexual connotations, but they throw them in there. There's little things, I mean, even in the second one, there was connotations to marijuana smoking. I'm like, whoa, did that really just happen? But we don't realize it, but in the back of our mind, in our self-conscious, those triggers, like you said, are picking up on that. And then it makes you think about it later. And even before you realize it, that little connotation to marijuana, now you're sitting back smoking a blunt again. You're like, oh, how did I get here? You never realized it. But the enemy is using, so brothers, be aware, the enemy is using those small connotations. That's what slow walks you. The stuff that we easily accept or bypass is the very thing that's going to be the thing that picks us up and takes us over the edge before we even realize we've gotten there.
May I ask Elder Mark a question? You got my daughter swinging from a ceiling fan? No. I need to talk to you, Elder.